words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. One of the disadvantages of being a Christian in the 21st century is we tend to forget how revolutionary Christianity is. Most of us have grown up with the truths of the faith and tend to see them in a matter-of-fact way. We all know that Christmas marks God coming to earth and becoming man as Jesus. We know that Easter marks the victory of Jesus over death. To us, the great mysteries of the faith are often reduced to signposts in the liturgical year. We tend to forget how earth-shattering these events were when they occurred. Today's gospel is an example of one of those many earth-shattering events. The same day at the evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. As we heard in the Easter gospel, Jesus was not found in his tomb. He'd risen from the dead. The apostles didn't know exactly what that meant, but they knew that they were in big trouble with the Jews. The Jewish authorities had executed Jesus because they saw him as a threat to their authority. Now his body had disappeared from the tomb. The apostles had nothing to do with the disappearance of the body of Jesus, but they knew that the authorities would suspect them of being involved in it. They weren't having any luck. First, the master in whom they'd placed all their hopes had turned out to be a failure. Now their lives were in jeopardy with the authorities because of his failure. They were meeting to try and figure out what to do. They didn't really have any bright ideas about what to do. Mostly they were sharing their fear and misery. How could they have been so stupid? How could they have been taken in by this prophet from Galilee? How could something that seemed so wonderful come to such a disastrous end? True, Peter and John talked about Jesus rising from the dead. But was that true or just wishful thinking? An illusion on their part. In the midst of this rather glum gathering, came Jesus, stood in the midst, and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." They started to tremble. This was more than they could believe. It had to be an illusion. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. No, this wasn't an illusion. They could see that what stood before him was actually Jesus. They could see the nail wounds from the crucifixion, where his body had been pierced by the spear. He was not dead. He lived. He had actually triumphed over death. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. All their hopes came alive again. This wasn't quite what they'd expected, but it could work. Now that Jesus had triumphed over death, he could establish his kingdom on earth. Maybe he was here to start passing out rewards. Yes, they believed. What did they have to lose? He died. It was something they hadn't expected. But now he was back. Now things would go on as they expected. They were ready and eager to take their place in the new world order. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." What was this? Once again, Jesus was doing the unexpected. He was sending them somewhere. They didn't want to be sent. They wanted to receive their rewards for being his loyal followers. They'd not doubted him, at least not much. They'd stuck by him, more or less. Wasn't it time for their reward? What were they being sent to do? And when he'd said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." No, this wasn't at all what they wanted. They didn't want to be sent on any mission from God to forgive sins. They didn't want to receive the Holy Ghost, whatever that was. This whole thing sounded like a raw deal. They were being sent into the world to continue Jesus' ministry. That was a ministry that involved pain and suffering. This was all turning out to be so much different from what they expected. And yet they knew they had to do it. This was God himself confiding a mission to them and giving them the powers to accomplish it. They and what they wanted were unimportant when face to face with the living God. While they knew that they had a choice, they could always refuse to listen to God. After all, that was what the scribes and Pharisees had done. They knew that led to disaster. Their fate and fortunes were tied to Jesus, the living God. Maybe a few of the wiser among them realized that if the Lord was sharing with them a mission of suffering and pain, that he would also share with them the resurrection. This gospel is classically interpreted by the church as a calling of the apostles to be the first bishops. It's read to remind us that Christ has not left us bereft of leadership, but has entrusted his flock to the care of certain shepherds. It's also read to remind us that God has confided to his church the power to forgive sin in his name, something we all too often tend to forget or try to sweep under the carpet. We, like the apostles in today's gospel, are nothing more than a gathering of forgiven sinners called together by the Lord. We say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Just as the apostles in today's gospel received a mission, you received a mission when you were baptized. They were not aware of all the dimensions of a mission conferred upon them in that room. When we're baptized, we're not aware of all that baptism entails. Like the mission conferred upon the apostles in today's gospel, our baptism will bring to us a share in suffering and pain. Like the mission conferred upon the apostles in today's gospel, we are all called in our baptism to bring others to Jesus through our lives. Like the mission conferred upon the apostles in today's gospel, we at our baptism are called to a mission that will end in our sharing in our Lord's resurrection. May God grant that we may be aware of this mission conferred upon us in our baptism. May he grant that we willingly and faithfully embrace it. May he grant that at the end we may share in his glorious resurrection. May God grant we use this Easter season as a time to discover and renew our individual mission conferred upon us at our baptism. Amen. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be all praise, laud, honor, glory, and dominion, now and forever, world without end. Amen. Amen.